Nate, do you want to start us off?
No.
Welcome to Seriously Awkward.
Why do you always say no?
Do I have to? You do it this time.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Seriously Awkward podcast. I am extremely excited today because we have a repeat. I repeat the repeat that we have a repeat person on our podcast. We have Britt back on, and she is going to help get us into shape because we are sad and pathetic. This year has not been good. This last year was not good to me. I probably gained weight. I even grabbed some extra weight just randomly around the corner. I would just pick up rocks and put them in my pocket so I'd feel heavier and stuff like that. So I need help. Nate needs help. We also are planning on doing a weight loss challenge where the person who loses has to do something. I haven't decided yet what, but we're gonna do that, and we'll probably start that. We'll discuss that a little bit after we get on with the program today. But today we have Britt. I'm very excited. She was huge last year. She wasn't huge. She's fit. She looks really good. She's fit. Never mind. All right. Introduce yourself again one more time for the people out there.
Sure. Hi, guys. I'm Britt Inez. I am a body goal specialist and transformation coach, and I teach my clients how to become their own definition of body goals. I work with my clients virtually, remotely, even some in person, just with creating custom training programs, custom meal plans. I've been at this for, over 10 years now. And I also compete as well. So I walk the walk, and I've struggled with my weight. So I know what it's like to be where you guys are at right now.
Right. And her weakness is donuts. So if you want to trap her somewhere, just put a donut down in like one of those cages. No, never mind. I don't suggest that at all. Anyways, Nate, you had an important question that you wanted to ask, but we're going to get to that later. What I kind of wanted to come on here today and talk about is the beginning of the year. I am all excited and ready for a new me, a new exercise, and new fitness. But I've already lost motivation. It's week two. So the question I have first is what defines what is the best thing for somebody that is starting out their journey, has failed many times, and is looking for the next year to have success?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I tend to find with clients that I've worked with over the years is we all want to get to that end result, right? Fill in the blank with whatever that be. If it's lose 50 pounds, lose 30 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever. And we get so focused and fixated on saying, okay, I want to lose 50 pounds by the end of 2021, that when you're going through the day to day and you realize that the process is really, really slow, you might lose 2 pounds in 2 weeks. It's easy to get discouraged and say, up to hell with this, it's not working. I'm just gonna go back and eat donuts, right? So I always tell people that it's really, it's a lot better to stay motivated if you break down your goal into like smaller chunks. So maybe if it's nothing wrong with having the goal to lose like 50 pounds, I'll just use that for an example, but break it down to saying, you know what? I just wanna be consistent with working out for the next 30 days. And what I found with clients is it's really easy to focus on more behaviors you want to change and make those habits stick as opposed to focusing and fixating on the numbers, right? Because numbers kind of screw us up. Your weight can fluctuate through for a number of issues, right? It can be sodium, it can just be water retention, women's PMS. Like, there's so many things that can affect the number on the scale. I find more people becoming unmotivated by tracking their weight as opposed to just setting a goal to be consistent with small daily changes that they can make, as in like working out 3 times a week or going for a walk skipping, you know, maybe you're skipping dessert and instead of that, you're having something that's like fruit or something like that. Those smaller things are way easier to focus on as opposed to like just some big number that seems like really far out of reach.
Right. Well, last year, so I did, I was trying to get healthy last year and I completely failed it. We started doing the Noom, and it's you're tracking your information, and then you're supposed to get help from a coach. I found the coach almost useless. They just kept sending me stuff that was on the website. Like, I was like, I'm struggling with this, and they just send me information that was on the website. And I was like, oh, thank you. I feel like you're not doing anything. But I was losing weight for about the first week, and then the next week came and I lost a little bit more. And then after that, I fluctuated where basically anything I did, I didn't lose any weight. So I have struggled with that my entire life. So I get into these cycles of, I just kind of give up. Yeah. It's not the best thing to do, but it's what I do. I give up and I'm like, I'm going to have a donut just because. And then that next donut ends up into 10 donuts. And then I'm at the house by myself with the lights off eating donuts. And it's just the most pathetic thing in the world with pizza surrounding me everywhere. So that
great to me, but just my opinion. But okay, go ahead.
No. Anyways, so I lose focus.
Yeah.
And I want to learn how to actually have focus for the year. Mm-hmm. And I know personally that the only way you can change in life is you change gradually. There's no such thing as they talk about these quantum leaps, these quantum jumps. Quantum jumps don't actually exist in life. It's always momentum equals up to that point where you got there, where all of a sudden you get from point A to point B in a huge spot, but there's a lot of steps in between. So I need to figure out how to stay faithful with the small steps, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before, like with the small steps, like whatever those small steps look like for you, instead of looking at it from a 6 month kind of thing, it would be to really break that down and to say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the next like 3 days at a time. Like even breaking it down to like that. And it sounds kind of crazy to be like, oh, well, just 3 days. That's not going to do anything. But like you're kind of saying, it's gradually forcing you to change your behaviors over time. So you'll look up and by the end of 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you would have done all of these new habits that get you to closer to where you want to go. So I will highly recommend breaking it down into like smaller chunks. And even, you know, if you find that something's just not working, stop focusing on it. Like if you just know you're just not going to work out in the morning, stop telling yourself, okay, I'm going to work out every morning at 5 a.m. It sounds great. Sounds amazing in theory, right? But right. A part of this is also being real with yourself. So be flexible and say, okay, well, you know what? Maybe that's not going to work. I'll shoot for lunchtime or I'll shoot for evening times. I feel like a lot of people get so stuck in just one way of doing things. It's like this all or nothing kind of approach. And then they end up just not doing anything at all.
Right. Well, the interesting thing about fitness is it's a very non-competitive, extremely competitive thing where we hear about what somebody else does and then we go, oh, well, that must be the key to this. So I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning in order to get this accomplished, or I can, you know, I have to run a marathon, and if I don't run a marathon, then I'm not going to do this. Or there's a lot of aspects of competition mentally where there's nobody actually in competition with you. I at least find.
Oh yeah. I mean, and the thing is too, right? It's really easy to get caught up in what so-and-so is doing. Like you see people, and I see this so much. I have so many clients that come to me and say, oh, well, my friend lost 70 pounds on keto. I want to do keto. I'm like, well, you like carbs, so that's not going to work for you. Right. I mean, are you, you know, I mean, and I get it, right? Because you, it's a very, especially with fitness, it's very superficial in a way in terms of what people are really triggered by. And you see the before and afters, and you want that kind of transformation. You're like, oh, well, they did it that way. That's how I have to do it.
So but what would you, so what yeah. would you do for somebody like me that I have tried a lot of the diets and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and I end up cheating on the diets because in the long term, those diets are not going to work for me. How do you structure a diet? Like you said, you know, keto. Keto sounds great, but I love carby things as well. So how do I fit all that in without, you know, going overboard with it?
Can I touch on that real quick to maybe that you can bring this into the your answer as well? Is also on the diet portion. So say your significant other doesn't want to do the diet. So you're the only one that would do the diet.
So you're talking about Nicole?
So I mean, maybe keto, but she doesn't want to do it.
So I'll cover both of those. So that's, I get that really often. So I'll answer your question first that you asked about how would I approach like your diet? And you said a few things that kind of stood out. You said you've done a lot of them, but a lot of them don't work. My first question would be, what about them didn't work for you? Right? Because it's kind of important for me to know that, like, if you're just the kind of person where you get bored eating the same thing over and over again.
Oh, I get extremely bored. If I have to eat the same thing more than twice, okay. I just want to jump off a cliff, a small cliff, you know, more like a stool or something like that. But yeah.
All right. Well, then, you know what? I would say first things is, I will go through and I do this with all my clients. They fill out a pretty extensive like workbook for me, and I gather all of their like food preferences, their favorite foods, their guilty pleasures, their favorite indulgences, and then I create a more balanced eating lifestyle for them to where they can incorporate those things that they actually like to eat in moderation, of course, right? I can't have you eating, you know, 10 double decker Taco Bell tacos, that's your thing, right? I can't do that. But as much as I'm able to, I really subscribe to the idea that if people don't feel like they have to give up their favorite stuff forever, they're much more likely to stick with something and not feel like they have to deprive themselves and they can enjoy the process. So I tend to find a more balanced approach works with a lot of my clients because it helps them to adhere to it. So I will probably take that approach with you, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because I don't believe in giving up food groups. I mean, I love carbs too, so I get it. I think they're amazing. So I tend to find that I'm even more successful when I'm able to have things that I actually enjoy eating and also having variety, right? Like I think I've seen trainers give these clients these meal plans and it's like, all you have them eating is like chicken breast and broccoli. Well, that's not sustainable. I can't even eat like that 24/7. Right. Like that's just not gonna work, right?
Right, you will lose weight on those type of diets, but I cannot.
Yeah.
I just go crazy with that. And yeah. I will immediately grab something bad for me.
Absolutely. Well, you're not. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no need for you to be that, that strict with yourself. So I'm a big believer in having a lot of variety. So having multiple different things you can choose from for your protein sources, your carb sources, your fat sources, I find it helps people to stay interested. I'm also really big on finding like recipes that can kind of work with your meal plan as well. So that way you can still have like nachos and burgers and things like that, just in a different way than what you've probably been eating them before. And I find that to be really successful with a lot of clients.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you have another part to add on to that?
Oh, no. I was going to, I wasn't sure if you were going to go into Nate's question.
Yes. That actually is very, very common. And I experienced that too. When I first started out, I haven't always lived with people who were on this lifestyle, that I'm on. So what I find is this, it's really important to, if you don't have the willpower to just not give in to whatever your partner's eating or whatever, you have to explain to them why this is important for you and why you want to do this. Because most people don't take you serious. I mean, they don't. And then when you complain about it, they're just like, well, go ahead and eat the cookie. You know, you're fine. You're fine. You can get away with it, right? So your loved ones aren't really always the best support system. But what I found is that if you're able to explain to them why it's important to you, then it can kind of, they'll let off the gas a bit with pressing food on you when you're having a moment of weakness. Because when you're dieting, you still, I mean, it's rough. Like, if it was easy, everyone would be walking around how they wanted to look. Let's just be honest.
Right. We'd all have a society of supermodels.
Yeah.
Which, but that means that nobody would be a supermodel. Everybody would just be normal.
It would just be the normal, right? So, you know, I find that when you don't have that, when you, the whole house isn't in that, on that same kind of path as you, as long as you can explain to them why it's important and get them like behind you to support you on your decisions, it's so much easier. Now, there's only so far that can kind of go if you are still in a house with things that you love. Like if you love Oreos and your partner eats Oreos every night, hey, you might want to tell them, hey, can you just keep that out of the bedroom or wherever? Like, can you just go somewhere else with that? You can do things like that. But for the most part, you have to kind of be really strong-willed in terms of what you want to do and why you want to do it. And for the most, what I've seen, actually, a lot of partners come around. So they'll see you on it and they'll see you being so disciplined and so focused and driven. They're like, oh, you know what? Let me start to kind of change some things around. So it kind of is contagious in a way. And it's not uncommon for your significant other or other people you live with to kind of get on board after they've seen you be dedicated to something for a good chunk of time.
Okay.
That sounds good. So, so on a, if somebody was to hire you, what would be the process that they would go through in order from like start point to get going, and what can they kind of expect out of the beginning part of the journey?
Yeah. So I'm very hands-on with all of my clients. So from the beginning, I'm going to gather a lot of information from you about your history in terms of your eating preferences, kind of like what I was just kind of like touching on with you and finding out what your guilty pleasures are, what you like, what you don't like, what you hate. I have extensive workbooks that I have all my clients complete so I can get their background, right? It's important for me to kind of know where you've been so I kind of know where we're going and what kind of program would be the most successful for you to be on. And then from that, I get to work and I develop out their custom training plans, their custom meal plans. Or if we're going to do like virtual workouts, kind of like through Zoom, we do scheduling and all that good fun stuff. And then from there, I deliver their plans to them and then we get to work. So for my clients, from an accountability perspective, we check in with each other weekly. That way I can make sure that everything is working for you. You know what I mean? I mean, this isn't like a set it and forget it kind of thing, like a chia pet, right? You have to be adaptable throughout this whole thing. And a lot of people need a lot of, you know, support with this whole thing. Because if you could do it on your own, you would have done it by now. So the accountability piece is really huge. That's why it's baked into all of my client plans. So we check in weekly with each other. We'll hop on calls if needed. And we'll just kind of keep going down that path until we get to where you guys want to be.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Nate, I think, had a question earlier, but it was off camera, and he was going to ask it, but I wasn't exactly sure how to ask it because he wanted to ask the question. Nate, do you remember how you were asking the question?
So basically with... I guess kind of like your model, the way that your business runs, it sounds like it's
I threw you on
not so much, so not so much the planning and the meal plans, but more of like the Zoom calls and the workouts via Zoom and all that. How do you compare to the workout equipment that's now coming out with kind of that attached to it? Was this kind of how I think I was trying to phrase the question? Because there's the Peloton bike, and then the second one that you mentioned I was trying to get at was something called the mirror, where it's basically almost like a full mirror shaped exercise equipment that is basically a workout that you're doing. It almost seems like you're doing it with somebody, but or like a coach per se.
Yes. So the Peloton, so the biggest, how do I compare is one, I'm a human on the other side giving you a completely tailored one-on-one experience, right? A lot of these other things like the Peloton app and like the mirror workouts, they're pre-programmed. On the Peloton, I mean, they're some of those are like live workouts, but they're not going to be able to tell, like Nate, let's just say, for example, I see you struggling with an exercise that you're doing. That instructor is not going to be able to call you out to say, hey, change your shoulder placement, move your right leg down. Like, they're not going to be able to give you that kind of feedback. So you lose the opportunity to get in like feedback in the moment on if you're doing something correctly. You know what I mean? Right. And even with the ones like with the mirror to where they adapt it in a sense of if they see that you're doing something pretty easily, then they can increase the resistance level. But at the same time, that doesn't give you form corrections. So like, let's say for example, you've done a squat, you're doing a squat and your back is hurting, right? They're not gonna be able to tell you exactly why your back is hurting and to change what exactly you need to kind of change up, right? They can give you general, like it was like looking at a workout video. They can give you general guidelines like, hey, make sure you sit your hips back and this and that. But when you work with, like for me, for example, I can look at you and tell you exactly what you're doing wrong and how to fix it. So that's really the biggest difference. And then of course too, you're also not getting the other leg of it, which is the nutrition support, right? Because you can do all the Peloton workouts, mirror workouts in the world. If your eating isn't where it needs to be, you're not going to see the results you want to see. Like that's just it. And I find that in those like sessions that we have with my clients via Zoom, we're able to kind of dig deep on a lot of like smaller daily struggles that they're going through that you just lose the ability when you're kind of doing like these more group-based workouts or these kind of more of like on-demand style workouts, I'll just call them that. You just lose that human interaction and that guidance to really have someone as a coach to coach you through the small daily habits that you need to be focusing on to see the big changes that you want to see. You're just getting a workout.
Yeah, I think the equipment works. I mean, some of the equipment works. Some of the stuff that's out there is sketchy. But I think a lot of the things is the personal interaction with an actual person. Some people require that. Some people don't. I know the reason why I canceled Noom is because I felt like I was just interacting with it could have been just a robot with a picture of some person's face there. And whenever I'd ask them questions, they gave me a robotic response. And I was like, well, I don't feel like I'm talking to a person. I feel like I'm just getting a response that could have been anything, literally anything. It could have been a guy. It was a picture of a girl, but that doesn't mean that there's an actual girl there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the personal the times I've gotten in the best shape of my life is when I've worked out with a friend of mine and we would go to the gym. Well, actually, we didn't even go to the gym. We went to the high school down the street and we just worked around. We did like you do laps around the track and then we do an exercise and then we do another lap around the track and then we do another exercise and then we do another lap around the track and we keep doing that for about an hour. And that's when I got in the best shape of my life. But I was with somebody the whole time that was motivated to do that.
And that's, for me, that's probably the biggest thing too, is the gym. I don't mind going to the gym, but I don't want to go. I don't like working out alone, I guess you could say. And so the same thing in high school, we had weightlifting class. So you're in a group of like 30 classmates. And then right after high school, me and a buddy would go to the gym 2 to 3 days a week. So it's easier to work out with somebody, especially to kind of the motivation part. Whereas now it's like, okay, well, I'll go to the gym after work and then you, it's like, I don't want to go to the gym by myself.
Right.
I'm not going to go to the gym.
Oh, there's so many times that I've gone to the gym and I didn't go inside because my iPod wasn't charged or something like that. And I'm like, I don't have music. I'm not going inside. Sad, but true. Sad, but very true.
I've thought about, obviously there's like the classes, where it's more like a group setting. Like that's, to me, is kind of interesting because you're then working out with a group of people. But every time I look into that, it's like, doesn't say anything about, well, this is a beginning class or beginner's class. This is like, this is what we do.
Is it intimidating to you, Nate? Is that
a little bit? Yeah. Cause you're like, they show you, like, you kind of see like a little video of what they're doing and you're like, I could probably do that probably like a month down the road of actually doing it. It doesn't look like a beginner.
You don't want to be the awkward guy at the doing the line dance that everybody pivots to the right and you're trying to figure out which is your right and your left. You're like, which way are we going? I get that. Yeah.
Or the people that have been doing it for like months, and then I'm the new person and I can make it like 40 seconds into this 3 minute
sadness
rep, I guess you could say. I don't know. So that's kind of my thought on, it's easier when you're going with somebody you know, or going like a group setting of like, where, Nate, you know, it's a beginning class.
You're trailing.
Yeah, anyways. I mean, I do hear that. Like I hear both sides of that, because a lot of my clients, like, they're just like on their own. They're like, yeah, sitting kind of like what you said, you sit in your car and you're just kind of like, I just won't go. I'll just turn around and go home. Right. So it's easier to kind of push yourself if you're not able to be self-motivated to have someone like with you. The group X classes, I mean, they can be hit or miss, honestly. I mean, it really comes down to the instructor. That it sounds like you just had a really sucky instructor, because most instructors should be able to tell you, hey, here's the super beginner version, here's a modified version. And if they don't, then you just might be in the wrong class. But
what? Sorry, Nate, you don't have the class that is needed for that.
Yeah, you gotta choose a different one.
So anyways, was there another question we were gonna ask? I forgot already. What is going on? Anyways, tell us, we were gonna go through what your normal training thing is. You went through some of that. How do people get in contact with you if they would like to get you as a trainer?
Yeah. So the easiest way to contact me would be by email. So BrittanyInezRand@gmail.com is the easiest way to contact me. That way we can kind of go from there, or you can find me across all social media platforms. I'm at BrittanyInezRand. So I'm pretty easily searchable. I have weight contact forms through my Instagram, through my Facebook, pretty much whatever YouTube, wherever you are, you guys can easily find me. But email is going to be the fastest route to reach me.
Okay. Yeah, just get in contact with you. If people are feeling that, like me, you've had issues with this in your past and you need somebody to walk through it with you, she's a great person to walk through with you. She's very personable. She's very fun and very nice. And she likes donuts. So, and I like donuts too. So that's great. So what do you do to the person that has problem with just the, I don't know, kind of like when I go to drive to the gym, and how do we get people like me to be motivated to get actually out of my car and go into the gym or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I normally find that when people are sitting in their car not wanting to get out and do something, it's something else beyond you just not being motivated. right? It normally is you go in there and you feel like you don't know what the hell you should be doing, or you feel super intimidated because there are people in there who are light years ahead of where you are, right? And you just may feel some kind of way about that. So I always find it really easy when I work with clients like that to give them more, I don't want to say more handholding, but in a way, for example, like when you get a training plan from me, you're going to have video links to each exercise. So you're able to see what to do before you get in there. So you're able to build that confidence level up before you even walk into the door. So you're not scrambling around trying to like look at someone to see if you're doing it right. Or you're thinking in your head, like, oh my gosh, everyone's staring at me, so I'm doing this wrong. And I look dumb. Right. So things like that, I work to really try and remove as many of those barriers as possible. But at the end of the day, like, I can't make someone motivated. No coach, no trainer can. That's just not really our job. We can't motivate you, but what we can do is give you the tools to teach you how to be disciplined, because motivation doesn't last. Like, and none of us, right? I'm not motivated 24/7. I'm not. There are days where I'm just like, I don't want to do this today. I just want to sit in my bed in my pajamas, watch Netflix and eat donuts. I have days like that. So motivation, I think a lot of people tend to wait for that perfect moment or wait for motivation to come back, or if they could only get it back. And it's a fleeting kind of thing. Like, you're just,
right,
you'll be waiting forever if you're trying to wait for like that.
Well, it gets back to the original way we were talking. Most people have already given up on their resolution at week two. And they wait all the way. We wait for this number to turn into the next year for whatever reason, instead of finding the motivation in ourselves each and every day to do the thing. Because it's harder to do that. It's easy to wait for a specific time and day to plan out your failure for the next year. So that's my goal, is that I'm trying to get myself re-motivated into getting healthy. I want to get healthy. I am engaged, so I'm getting married in a year and a half from now, and I would like to look good on that day. And I think that's kind of my thought process. And the interesting thing is we're going through this whole COVID-19 thing, and there hasn't been a lot of talk about health and fitness, about the whole thing. It's you know, avoid people, you know, don't cough on strangers or lick random poles around the streets or something like that. Don't do the things, wash your hands, which I'm still surprised a lot of people don't do that. I'm very frustrated. Go into a store and I see somebody leave without washing their hands, and I'm just like, come on, man, just do the bare minimum. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with that. But so I want to get healthy for those reasons this year. Nate, what do you got? You got any more thoughts on these whole thing? Because I'm going to be in a competition with you, and I'm going to win, because I'm going
to
lose.
It's not like you're setting up to win. I mean, just saying, your motivators are pretty strong.
I'm motivated, and I'm also... I'm better than Nate. That's how I'm going to say it. And I'm just saying that just to rile you up, Nate, because I see you've already like sat up more in your chair than you have the whole time. So that's good.
Gosh, put me on the spot.
You're on a podcast. The whole thing is a spot.
My only thing would be, obviously, with gyms not being open, or very handful of them being open, the workouts that you give to people, are they like, what would you type of workouts would you give somebody if they don't have any equipment in their house? Like, is it push-ups? What would your...
Nate doesn't have any equipment at his house, and he wants to know what he can do without a gym.
Gotcha. Okay. You know what? I actually...
Yeah.
That's come up, right? you'd be surprised on what you can do at home with the things that you have around your house. Like couches, chairs, benches, ottomans, things like that. I've even had people using like household appliances to create resistance for some things. So you can get pretty creative, and then kind of to your point, you were mentioning like push-ups, things like that. Yeah, there's a lot of body weight kind of exercises you can do. But I will say this, don't underestimate what you can do with just a set of resistance bands. You can get some bands for $20 on Amazon. You can get the ones where you can create up to 150 pounds of resistance. So there's still ways that you can kind of still get an effective workout in, even just having minimal to no equipment at home. But to your point, yes, I would do a combination of body weight stuff and utilizing kind of like household items to create a workout for them.
Okay.
Like what? First of all,
David,
What are you going to say?
You're going to be out of luck because I actually did get a set of resistance bands from my dad.
Ooh, for Christmas. Get ready.
Oh, nice.
Just beware.
You're prepared.
I still yeah. haven't opened them, but.
Nate, I'm proud of you. Have you? No. I was going to say you haven't opened the box yet, but.
Nope, but I have them.
You're closer, yeah, you're closer than I am right now. Yep. So sad. We're so sad, Nate. Anyways, we're going to get healthy this year, and I'm going to beat you at everything, which is going to be great because I always lose every competition we do. So
I got to ask, what does the winner receive of this challenge? Like, what's at stake here?
Okay, so usually in our challenges, somebody has to eat something terrible. Like the one chip challenge, Nate wants to do the hot chocolate challenge. Not like hot chocolate, but it's like a really spicy chocolate thing.
It's like a small candy bar. It's like a white chocolate. It's supposed to be spicy.
With all these habanero peppers and stuff like that in it. Oh. I haven't decided yet. Last time we did the cinnamon challenge where you had to do a teaspoon of cinnamon.
I think it needs to be bigger because obviously if this is going to be something, it's got to be bigger.
Yeah, obviously it's got to be something where one of our lives are on the line or something like that. Like whoever loses, the other person has to kill the other one or something. I don't know.
That
well, I feel like I went a little bit too far on that, but we'll figure out something that is it'll be good for usually the winner gets like peanut butter M&Ms and the loser has to do something gross. So I don't know what we'll do because we're trying to be healthy, Nate. And we'll figure out what the loser will have to do. But I'm excited for it because I'm excited to win and be better than you at something. Because we usually do like a football bet, and I don't know anything about football. So he wins every time because he actually pays attention to the sport, and I'm betting off of basically the colors of the team. And they're mascots, so, you know. I don't want to brag, but it works out well for me usually. So, yeah, we'll do that. I think we can probably end it a little bit early this time. Cause I actually have things to do. I have a busy life. I'm in the area that I'm recording in right now is so sad and pathetic. It's like literally a corner of a room, and I have like plastic right here because we're doing a lot of remodeling around the house. That was our last year. Oh, what was your last year like, by the way? I want to hear what your what happened last year, because we talked. So it's very interesting because we talked, and then just a little bit after COVID happened and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden the world melted away and everything just kept getting worse and worse. And what was your life like around that time?
Yeah, actually, I can honestly say I had a great 2020. My business skyrocketed. It blew up to the point where I had so many clients just come working with me. I launched new programs. Those sold out. And I competed twice. I did two national level shows. I placed top five in both of those.
Nice.
I competed in November and December. So I had a really great end to 2020, honestly, even with the world melting all around me.
Well, that's good because I had a feeling. So I was talking to my girlfriend and I was like, she was like, this is the worst year ever. And I was like, there's got to be somebody out there that this was like their best year.
I don't want to say this, you know, and someone take offense to it and come and troll me on my Instagram, but I'm sorry that everything happened. But from a personal perspective, I thrived last year.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Business model, you're almost set up to thrive because a lot of it's online or setting people that can't go to the gym, looking for ways to either stay fit or get fit, and they can't go to the gym, can't go outside or whatever. What better way than to get in contact with someone that provides the business that you provide?
Yeah. I mean, and it was one of those things where I never saw myself operating in this way, but you know, I feel like last year really kind of opened a lot of entrepreneurs' eyes to just a different way of doing things. And it's now here to stay. So
that's awesome. Ooh, yeah. I have some thoughts right now. They just trickled into my mind at the angles. What was your keys to creating success on an online platform? How did people find you? How did you grow your business? How did you get everything going? Yeah. Really? Is it all personal person and stuff like that, or is it?
Word of mouth, it definitely has gotten me a good amount of clients. As you know, people start talking, they start to see the results from other people. Like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, go talk to Britt. So that definitely, it's old fashioned, tried and true marketing. It works. But I built my business primarily through social media. My background is in social media. So I used to do social media marketing consulting for Fortune 500 companies and all that. And I pretty much took all of that and applied it to my own thing. So that's how I've been able to grow and scale everything. So I'm on Instagram primarily, YouTube as well. Just started kind of getting into my YouTube channel, I would say mid to end of last year. So still growing, kind of newbie there.
Right.
But a lot of my business comes in through online. I do online advertising as well, and then word of mouth.
Okay. Which do you find is, so all the different platforms are different, work better or worse for other people. Which one do you think works best for you?
You know what is interesting? I you know how like they have like the Yelp pages and like Google Thumbtack, all those kind of things. Like I'm listed on there and I do get clients through there, but what I mostly find is that I also link my social media profiles to those platforms, to those pages. And the majority of my clients tell me, hey, I found you on this Google search, personal trainer and wherever. I saw your profile, then I went to your Instagram and I've been following you for months. I'm ready to work with you. So by the time people actually come to me, and it's because I'm so personable in my content and in my Instagram stories, they feel like they feel like they know me in a way, right? I mean, not like on a personal level, but they're able to connect with me more in a quicker way. And I really feel like people just want to work with people they can connect with.
Right.
So I can't really attribute it just to one specific platform, more than a combination of them all working together. Okay. I've had some clients tell me things like, oh, I found you, then I went to go check out some of your YouTube videos, and now I'm here, I'm ready. So it kind of just, you know, depends.
Right, because that aspect is very interesting to me, because I've talked to some people, and they're like, oh, you only do this platform. And then they're like, oh, only do Facebook. I only do Facebook ads, and I got such – you know, great results for them. And then you talk to the next person and they're like, don't ever do Facebook ads.
Yeah. You know, I've been in business for myself for several years now. I've done it all, so to say. So I can't really say that there's one that I just like swore off. I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to do that. But I think there's a time and place for everything, really. I can't really say that there's one where I'm just like, oh, I'm not gonna ever do that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was just wondering that because it. I was like, well, how do people find you? Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, primarily ads are the way that I've been able to scale my business because it puts me in front of new people who I wouldn't be able to otherwise reach on my own.
Right. So. Right. Okay. Awesome. Anyways, I am excited always to have you on. I would love to have you on more maybe this year. Maybe you can see how Nate and I are doing in our training, and then you can yell at us and make us feel sad and pathetic because we're not doing it, or we're doing it great. And then you can still yell at us, which would be great. I want people to be able to find you. What is your information one more time?
Yep, you guys can find me. I'm at Brittany Inez Rand across all social media.
All right. She's amazing. Go find her. Get healthy. Be a better you. Nate, I'm going to beat you at everything this next year. That's my goal, is to be...
That's good. At least I have a year, so... Next year, you can be mad at everything, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I feel like that's fine. But at that point, I'm not going to remember, and I'm just going to beat you again. So it's good. I like this. I like the way we're going for this year. Me winning, you losing, and Britt having another extremely successful year. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it was good talking to you. On that note, goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye.
All Thank right. you for listening to Seriously Awkward and Friends. Please like, subscribe our Facebook page, and think about becoming a Patreon member. And listen next week.